Blog Talk Radio.
People of color with white minds on their jury that have no understanding of the average reasoning person of the black community. Point number 10. You ready for that one?
Yeah.
Point number 10. We want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. How many for that? We want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. And as a political objective, we want national liberation in a separate state or territory of our own, here or elsewhere. How many want that? Some of y'all scared to raise your hand. Hell, you scared he might ship us out this evening. You scared that Beckerwood might walk in here right now and say, all right, niggas. All you niggas sitting in there with all that African stuff on, listening to that shiny ball-headed nigga up there. All right, niggas, just give me back everything in here belong to me, niggas. Everything. Give me my clothes, niggas. Here we are sitting in here looking at each other buck-naked. Sitting here buck-naked. Say, give me the shoes, nigga. We sitting in here buck-naked, barefoot, looking at each other. Give me that microphone, nigga. And the microphone jumps right out of my hand. Give me my tables, nigga. Give me my chairs, nigga. Now we all standing up buck-naked, barefoot. No microphone. Give me the lights, nigga. These are my lights. Here we are standing up buck-naked, barefooted, no mic, no chair, no table, in the dark. It's all right, nigga. Give me the grease out of your hands, nigga. Here we are standing here and lost the grease from our heads. All right, nigga, give me my attention. Are you fine? Are you fine? Coming to you? Yeah, you got your damn feet. He said, nigga, give me the building. Here we are now, standing up, butt naked, no shoes, no chair, no table, no mic, no light. The floor right out from under us. The building right out from behind us. And all around us, and here we are, outdoors, butt naked, in the dark. He said, all right, nigga, give me back. You talking all that talk? All right, buddy. Give me back, nigga. Give me back everything that belongs to me. Nigga, I've taken over Harlem. Nigga, get off the ground, nigga. Here we are, jumping up and down, outdoors, in the dark. But nigga, barefoot, no place to sit, no table, no light, no mic, no building, no floor. It's all right, nigga. You still, you crazy nigga. You dedicated nigga. You jumping up and down, buck naked and barefoot. I took the mic from you, nigga. I took everything from you, nigga. But you still listen to that nigga. All right, nigga. Give me my language back. Now the nigga standing up in front of you can't even talk to you no more. Here you are thinking, all right, nigga. You thinking in English. Give me back my thoughts out of your head. Here you are, blank-headed nigga. Can't listen no more. Buck naked. Barefooted, in the dark, no building, no floor, no chair, no table, cold as hell. And the crackers say, all right, nigga, I got air rights.
Stop breathing.
I got air rights. You niggas can't breathe my ass. You niggas can't be in my ass space. Brothers and sisters, we need a separate state or territory of our own.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we can buy land,
yes,
and we must buy land,
yes,
so that we can practice nation building.
Yes,
buy land,
right,
so we can practice nation building. But when we buy land, understand that the deed that we have in our hand that we got from the white man, if you read in the fine print at the bottom, it says the United States government maintains the right of eminent domain, which means that the property costs $100,000. But you wanted to make sure you owned it. You gave the cracker $200,000 just to make sure you owned it. But it says at the bottom of the deed, the United States government maintains the right of eminent domain. So you pay all of them high real estate taxes, and the white man come in, even though the property only, the land only cost $100,000, you pay $200,000 for it. The cracker can still take it, can't he?
Yes, they do.
Can he still take it?
Yes.
What about the popular vote and the Electoral College vote? Did George Bush win the popular vote?
No, sir.
Did not.
Who won the popular vote?
The people.
Gore, right?
Gore did.
won the popular vote. But even though Gore won the popular vote, Bush won the what? Electoral College vote. Hey, I'm not into that. You take your Electoral College. You take your goddamn popular vote. We in the New Black Panther Party believe that the vote should be a revolutionary weapon. That the vote should be a cock's hammer. And we only use it on certain issues at certain times for certain candidates. But stop being a white man's nigga getting in line to vote. Every time there's a damn election, it should be a revolutionary weapon. Take on the cock's hammer principle.
Let me read on. We want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace. And as our political objective, we want national liberation in a separate state or territory of our own, here or elsewhere, a liberated zone, New Africa or Africa, and a plebiscite, a what?
A plebiscite.
A vote, a what?
A vote,
a plebiscite to be held throughout the black nation, in which only we will be allowed to participate for the purposes of determining our will and divine destiny as a people. Freedom land, up you mighty nation, you can accomplish what you will, black power. We believe that the black man must focus on all of these 10 points and this program, this platform. And we close with these words. We believe that the white man has proven to be absolutely disagreeable to get along with in peace. How many disagree with that?
None.
That the white man has proven to be absolutely disagreeable to get along with in peace. No one has been able to get along with the white man. All the peoples of color have been subjected to the white man's wrath. We believe that his very nature will not allow him to practice true sharing, fairness, equity, and justice. Therefore, to the red man and woman, to the yellow, and to the brown, we say to you, the same rabbit dog that bit you, bit us too. Black power, all power to the people.
Black power, and more black power to my people. It's your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli, and I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you. I'm right here in the hills and smells of North America. As always, this is a privilege. As always, this is a joy, and this is an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my sisters, my brothers, and some others from this bold, revolutionary radio broadcast, Black Power Radio. And as we do every Monday night, we come to you kicking not only the statistics to you, the divine ballistics. We want to open up our show giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers. And we bear witness that regardless of land, label, or language, there is only one God. And we thank that one divine, regenerative, creative force, eternal force, for creating us many men and women and manifesting in our persons the original man and the original black woman, the divine male and female essence. We give thanks for our many ancestors and those who have come down the wheels of time, spreading civilization, many different civilizations, from the black, the brown, the red, the yellow, and even the white. They all come from the black man and the black woman. And so we're thankful to our ancestors for being the teachers, the civilizers, the kings and the queens, the rulers of this earth that is said to be 196,940,000 square miles. we descend from. We're thankful for the original architects and builders of universities and hospitals, the original engineers, the original mathematicians, the original scientists, the original engineers, the original people of the planet Earth. We're thankful for them, and we're thankful that even that when we came in the hands of a no-good slave trader like John Hawkins, and we were, as they say in the Masonic order, hit in the head and struck a blow and left in the West to be buried as dead, that even though we were mentally made dead, dead to the knowledge of ourselves, our culture, dead to our people, dead to our God, dead to the knowledge, dead to the time of what time it is and what we're living in. We're thankful that our people became struggling and freedom fighters and rose to the occasion. And even though Hollywood and the cinemas of Hollywood would like to paint us as docile imbeciles who succumbed to slavery, we know the actual fact and the actual truth was that our people resisted the white man and white woman's rule and domination, that we resisted the colonialism on Africa. We resisted the artificial borders. We resisted the racism. We resisted the sexism. We resisted the white supremacy that was sent from Queen England and the English and the French and the Dutch and the Portuguese and even the white Arabs. We resisted that. All in Africa, all on the slave ships, all the way into the Caribbean, the Caribbean, here to the shores of Jamestown, Virginia, and the United Snakes of America, down in South America, our artifacts, our history, all show that the black man and black woman resisted being made slaves, and that a small few of us were captured from that continent called Africa, and were made to work from can't see morning to can't see night. Some people picking tobacco, other people picking cotton, other people pressing grapes and making wine. All of us at the same time down in the South through the Midwest underneath chattel slavery and a brutal taskmaster being whipped, and those who could not survive being whipped, others were castrated, and those who couldn't deal with that, others were put into lashing barrels and just, I mean, all kind of stuff that happened to us as a people that created a psychosis of fear in the black woman from the black man and the black baby. And it was passed on down in the form of what we know today as Willie Lynchism, and the Willie Lynchism that made us to fight one another and want to rob one another and kill one another and hate one another because we hate ourselves. We're thankful that freedom fighters rose from among these conditions and did not acquiesce to being slaves. So we give thanks to the great Martin Delaney. We give thanks to the great Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. We give thanks to the great Paul Robeson. We give thanks the great Noble Drew Ali. We give thanks to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, and we give thanks to the Minister Malcolm X and the OAAU. We give thanks to him and his Muslim Mosque Incorporated, and we give thanks to his spirit of resistance and armed struggle that gave birth to Black Panthers like Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale. We give thanks for Kwame Ture and Mukasa Ricks, who organized the Lowndes County Freedom Party, Black Panther Party down in the South, that hooked up with groups like Max Stanford and the Revolutionary Action Movement that gave birth to the other earlier Black Panther parties in the Northern California chapter, early Chicago chapter before Fred Hampton and all those freedom fighters. We give thanks for groups like the Black Liberation Army and Sister Asada Shakur and Sundiata Okoli and Brother Daruba Bin Wahad and so many others, but Jaleel Mufti Keen and those great freedom fighters and strugglers, named and unnamed, who worked for liberation amongst our people. Got to go back and give thanks to Robert F. Williams and the Deacons for Defense, what they call Negroes with Guns, and how they resisted the racist, reactionary attacks of the Ku Klux Klan, who were working against the rise of black people and bombing and burning churches and bombing and burning black people. Thankful for Robert F. Williams and the Deacons for Defense. And got to go back and give thanks to the great Reverend Nat Turner, or Reverend Nat Gat Turner, who read scriptures out of the Bible and didn't get the filtered version of being made a slave. He got the word direct in his spirit that he said he wanted to get up and begin to hunt the slave master and slit some white throats. Nat Turner went and got busy on the plantations, organizing people to defend themselves in a righteous way. We give thanks to him and give thanks to Bishop Henry McNeil Turner and give thanks to the great educators and liberators like Sister Ida B. Wells and the great Sojourner Truth, of course, to the great patriarch, the great matriarch, and great liberator Sister Harriet Tubman, that great warrior queen who took the soldiers through that Underground Railroad, who told the men and women who were going for freedom that if you tried to go back, I'd have to kill you. She said that she freed thousands of slaves and could have freed thousands more only if they knew they were slaves. And so we give thanks to her. We give thanks to the greats like Shirley Chisholm, of course, and giving thanks earlier to a Malcolm X. You got to give thanks to a Betty Shabazz. We give thanks, of course, to men today like Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family. And we give thanks to those who are on scene all across the place, all across the scope, as many of the organizations that existed in the 60s and many of the organizations that existed in the 70s are no longer. They were challenged by the federal government, the devils like J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI cronies who worked to dismantle black liberation struggle and the educational struggle, men and women who were simply feeding themselves and clothing themselves, men like Marcus Garvey who were putting banks in the communities, and grocery stores in the communities, men who had their own boats and had their own restaurants and retail outlets. The federal government of the United States or United Snakes had operations and apparatuses that worked to dismantle the self-dependence or independence or what we call Kujichagulia, the self-determined nation of black people here in America. So when you wonder why your people have so little, or why black people, the Africans in America, why we have so little and don't have what we should have, you have to know that the United States government, through its FBI apparatuses and COINTELPRO in later days and other plans and military maneuvers, that they work to dismantle your leadership. They work to dismantle your credible leaders and those who were standing up, male and female, to educate, lead, and deliver our people. As J. Edgar Hoover said, he wanted to stop the rise of a black messiah that would unite and electrify the people. And so coming into the 70s and going into the black exploitation era, through the whole pimp hole era that came out of Dolemite, and going through all of that type of, you know, Rudy Ray Moore type of era, and then going into the 80s and then being hit with Reaganomics and how Reagan felt a campaign about just say no, but at the same time was behind, through the CIA, the insertion of crack cocaine into the communities. I know some of you like to vote. You like to play with the politics of your oppressor. But even in playing with the politics of your oppressor, you have to know who you're dealing with. You got to go all the way back to those like Richard Nixon, who said that America's problem was a black problem, that the black people in America were really the problem, and that they had to create a system that dealt with the black man and black woman, but it could not be known and it could not be seen. Nixon did that. Nixon challenged the Panthers. Nixon challenged those movements that were there at that time. And that same attitude that has prevailed even before Nixon and on down through Nixon exists today, even in present form, what we call neo-colonial form, or white power with a black face. It exists today in certain segments in many areas of the establishment. And so we are not free. And the struggle continues. And so on the topic of Reaganomics, when he worked with Iran-Contra, the Contras and those who were being used to funnel drugs, and they had put a plan together to put crack cocaine and drugs in our neighborhood, hitting us with biological and chemical warfare, and making us chemical dependents, and making our former leaders, like Huey P. Newton at a particular point, a crack addict and a drug addict. It was a move to stifle the Black Power movement. It was a move to stifle the Black Panther movement. It was a move to destroy those who could take us out of the condition. But thanks to our ancestors, thanks to the Creator, and thanks to our ancestors, a luta continua, the struggle continues. And so the fight of the Black man and Black woman was able to pick up again in 1989. Same year that Huey P. Newton was assassinated, the same year that a man named Michael McGee had formed the Black Panther Militia in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And he formed, with the help of a man named Aaron Michaels, a new regiment of Black Panther Party. And he began to organize and pick up where the comrades of what we call the OGs, the original guard, the older guard, picked up, and they begin to go at the conditions that we face in the community today in a modern context. So we say the struggle continues. The struggle was not 40 years ago. The struggle is right now. You have a generation of crack babies who were addicted to drugs, who are disconnected to the struggle in the 60s, the 70s, the 50s, and so on. You have a reality TV generation that deals in a superficial belief that all you have to have is black capitalism, a little money, and some fur coats and some diamonds, and that is the American dream. You have those who are in this condition today that listen to the music that's on the radio, the music that's on the television, and they don't get inspiration on how to be inspired to give a true word, a true message, and a true inspiration to a generation, but that they call themselves bitches. They call themselves hoes. They call themselves tricks and niggers, and they call themselves all kind of disrespectful words, and they promote a culture of violence and gang warfare and black-on-black crime that is being permeated or sent all throughout the east to the west to the north to the south. So for those of you who believe that there is no struggle today, or if you believe that there's nothing to fight for today, you're not paying attention. Because the struggle continues, and so that takes us into our topic. Now, I want to, before I go further into it, say again, we're thankful for the new Black Panther Party, starting in 1989, under the founder, Aaron Michaels, and those soldiers that worked with him early in the early days. We're thankful for the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, who became the chairman of the organization through late 97 to 2001, as he was the former Supreme Captain, which is military commander in the Nation of Islam. Many of you all know that history underneath Honorable Minister Farrakhan. He was national assistant, national spokesman at just about every national position you can have. But the man was a straight-up revolutionary commander. Later on, through 70, I think 78, 79, in the armies of Uganda with General Idi Amin Dada, had come back here in the West to help Minister Farrakhan rebuild the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, later running into some political issues in that organization and formation and having to go through a suspension that ended up under an assassination attempt in Riverside, California. And he come into the hands of some men who were organizing, I told you, called the New Black Panther Party. Later that relationship would be bonded by our national chairman today, Minister Hashim Nzinga. So we give thanks to him, and we give thanks to Attorney Malik Zuru Shabazz, wherever he is out there working hard for his years of struggle and sacrifice at the time when the Black Power General made his spiritual transition from this planet, and he was able to carry the torch and pick up where the Black Power General left off, and he became the national chairman of the group and the organization. And he made this a structured organization, finishing the structural platform of Dr. Khalid Muhammad and putting this organization further on the map, even on an international scale. And so we stand on their shoulders, and we are working hard under the leadership of Minister Hashim Nzinga, our national chairman, to make black power a reality, to make self-determination a reality, true education a reality, to stop the injustices of our community, to stop what is happening against our people. We are working to make that a true and living reality for our people in the hills of North America. And so with that topic, you have to go into, you have to go into the reemergence of the black movement. Now, you've heard us talk about for some months now, you've heard us talk about our national summit. And we've been really putting a lot of pressure and a lot of attention on the national summit of the new Black Panther Party. And many of you may not understand why we have been saying summit, 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 summit so much. You may not understand the importance of a national summit and what this is really all about. But normally when nations come together for a summit, or when organizations come together for a summit, it is oftentimes one of the most critical points in that organization or that nation's development. It becomes one of the most critical times for that group to come together and to restructure organization, or to see where they have been successful, to see where they have had some failures, and to see where they can recalibrate or go forward into the future. And I'm here to tell you, the new Black Panther Party is very much interested and going forward much stronger in the future. Some of you have said, well, you know, I've watched you from afar. I really like what you all are doing. Some of the things that you all have done, I don't understand. Shit, I'm here to tell you some of the things we've done I don't understand in the past. I'm going to tell you why. Because when you do a movement like this, there's no blueprint for liberating your people. Sometimes the things that you do are right on the money. Sometimes the things you do may not be on the money. You have to recalibrate. This is a live struggle. But we have the lessons of history. We have the OG Black Panthers who give us guidance, and OG struggles from other formations that give us guidance. And we have you, the people, who give us guidance, who inspire us. We hope to inspire you. And you give us your input. And oftentimes we'll email us, or you'll put us to the side in place and say, you know, if you just would have did this a little better, it would have went over better. And so we appreciate you. Those of you who are listening to Black Power Radio, we appreciate you. And we are thankful for you and your listening to the broadcast over these years. We've been on the air, I think, over 4 years now, 4 or 5 years, easily on the air. And we are going strong and are stronger than ever. And ever on Black Power Radio. You've seen us bring people on this radio broadcast like Kenny Gamble and Jay Prince and Lou Gossett Jr. and Fred Hampton Jr. You've seen us bring other great men and women on here, Sister Maisha Hamley, the National Conference of Black Mayors, Vanessa Williams. You heard the great, late, great, Honorable Chokwe Lumumba on here. And, I mean, just on and on and on, showing you, brothers and sisters, that there is a real movement out here that is connected to the highest, quote-unquote, in society, to the lowest in society. We are very much interested, still, tribes. We are very much interested in working with those of you who are blue-collar workers, working with those of you who are white-collar workers, working with those of you who are college students, working with those of you who are just coming into consciousness, or working with those of you who have been conscious the whole time, working with those of you who have respect for the Black Panther Party of yesterday, working with those of you who have respect for the Nation of Islam of today and Nation of Islam of yesterday, working with those of you who respect for the UNIA and Marcus Mosiah Garvey, Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, working with those of you who may believe in none of that, but you might just believe in revolutionary theories and revolutionary principles. Those of you from the black church, those of you from the black synagogue, those of you from the black civic group, those of you who are just what we call straight off the street, lumping proletariats, don't give a damn about none of that. You just want to fight. That you, all of you have a place in the new Black Panther Party. So it's important that you understand the role of the new Black Panther Party and what it really represents. And we are not what you call reverse racist, because racist means that you have power. Racism is prejudice plus. That's why white folks fear black power so much. Many who don't understand black power, they fear it because they think that black power means doing the same thing to them what they did to us. They think that if we exercise or ever did true black power, that that means that we will exercise victimization on them like they exercise victimization on us in their quest to secure white power. But as history shows, most of our people are straight up defensive. We believe in self-defense. We don't normally attack when we're not attacked. And God just didn't make us in the way that white people are made, or Caucasian people in general are made, to seek after power at any expense, at the expense of everybody. In the new Black Panther Party, we believe in the laws of Maya, the laws of truth, the laws of justice, the laws of reciprocity, the laws of balance, the laws of harmony, the laws of order, the laws of peace. For you have it said, freedom, justice, and equality, unity. We believe in that. And so we are fair to everybody. We're fair to the tallest, to the shortest, to the fattest, to the skinniest. As long as you don't mess with us, we ain't messing with you. You don't hear about new Black Panthers out looking for trouble and out causing no trouble. You don't hear about us out breaking no laws and doing crazy things unless it's in self-defense. You just don't hear about that. But what you read on the news and what you read through the propaganda machine is something other than the truth all the time, because that's the job. That is the job of the oppressor. It's to confuse you about what a real movement looks like. If Hoover already told you that Hoover would stop the rise of a black messiah, then there's no way that the Hoovers of today will let you believe that those who could unite you and those who can inspire you, those who can drive you, those who can organize you, those who can economically make you sound, there's no way that the Hoovers, the J. Edgar Hoovers of today that are in the higher places here in America and elsewhere, there's no way they can allow you to believe that an organization like the New Black Panther Party is solid and sound and factual. And not only that, but we're on the ground and active. They know what the hell is going on in the party. They have so many informants that they have on payroll that they'll send in to spy on the organization. They'll send people in to see what's happening, see what's going on, see who's in charge, like they did yesterday. They know what's going on. So they know that there's some sincere brothers and sisters who are out doing this work for the money spent out of pocket, sometimes even down to the last dime, last dollar, last crumb off their plate, last shirt off their back. They know the sincerity of the new Black Panther Party. But sincerity is not enough. They know the strategy of the new Black Panther Party. And they understand that with a strategy like we have of black nationalism, nationalizing the blackness and black resource and the black productivity and the black expediency, they understand that with the black nationalist ideology, black people can rise overnight. The Jews, the so-called Jews, have Jewish ideology or Jewish nationalism. They call it Zionism, or that militarized branch of Judaism. The Chinese have Chinese nationalism. And you go to certain parts of China, and you go to little Chinatown and go to their China shops, and some of you sisters go buy your hair weaves from the Chinese man at the China store. You go get your nails and your toes and your everything done from the Chinese, and you sit there in the chair, get rubbed down by the Chinese and the Japanese. You go there to the Arabs. The Arabs have Arab nationalism. And they run the Super Americas. They run the cookie marts. Sometimes they run the little delis. They run the pawn shops. Sometimes they do things that benefit Arabia and the Arabs. Okay? The Mexicans or Chicanos. The Chicanos, sometimes the same thing. They have Chicano nationalism. All right? But the black nationalists, black nationalism has not been practiced to its fullest extent in America. And we had our greatest example or our greatest apex of it in the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Marcus Mosiah Garvey, who had tens of thousands of black men and women who were organized for self-determination, to this day his works have not been matched. The man who had resource, retail, steamline ships, and self-defense, who was working on building a nation and territory of our own, who said that he only wanted those who were interested in repatriating or going back to Africa to go back to Africa. Okay? He only wanted those who were interested. Then you had it again in a Nation of Islam and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who had his own banks, had his own retail, okay, had his own fish markets, had his own Learjet planes. He had things that he took from, the pennies. He used the pennies of black men and women in the ghetto and organized the pennies so that men and women in the ghettos and in our neighborhoods have something of their own. Where is that movement today? It has to come from the black nationalist community. You have to have that kind of attitude on your minds. Where the trick comes in at is that you believe that the American dream or the American goal is your same goal. The slave mind teaches you to believe that the American dream or the American goal is the same goal that you're supposed to have, meaning that you are tied. Your destiny is tied to the destiny of America. So if America is succeeding, then you feel like you succeed. And if America is failing, then you feel like you failing. So that's why many of you who are listening to me, you will not organize the way that you're supposed to. You won't go for self-determination. You won't go for the liberation of black people from the jails and prisons of America and from the criminal justice system, from the educational system, from the health care system. You won't work for liberation for true territory that you can claim, that you could run, that you could set up the laws for and the politics on and have your own candidates running for and organizing about. You won't do that because you believe you already have that in America. Some of you, when you voted in the last election, you thought that you were voting for your self-determination. You haven't put together that you are only voting for the interest supremacy, or you're voting for the interest of the same capitalist regimes and administrations that enslaved your people in the first place, and that have never to this day even so much as apologized, let alone reversed the course. So you get these who say, well, you know, these present generations had nothing to do with slavery. But you got to look at the fact that they are the beneficiaries of the works of their forefathers and foremothers, like signing an insurance policy, that even though their forefathers and foremothers have gone on, they benefit the rewards of chattel slavery, of Jim Crowism, of black codes. They benefit from your fathers and mothers being put in laughing barrels and not being allowed to laugh in public. Emmett Till being killed in public for so-called looking at a white woman. They benefited from your forefathers and foremothers who have been hung on trees down in the low valleys of Mississippi, the swamps of Mississippi, who have been held and killed down there in the deserts of Nevada and killed in California, early California, killed through the country lands of Kentucky and through Indiana, killed on the coast in New York, hung over the bridges. White folks today have benefited from that. And so it's like Minister Malcolm would always diagram that if you stick a knife in somebody's back 7 inches, but you only put a knife out 3 inches, that's not progress, brothers and sisters, because the knife is still in your back. And so the knife of slavery is still in our back. And even though you say, well, we're not in chains, we're not in shackles, when a person's mind is shackled, their body is shackled, okay? When their educational system is shackled, their body is shackled. When their freedom to exist is shackled, their body is shackled. So you're not free, black man and black woman, and we're not free, which means that we need liberation, which means that we must have some black power. It was black power that allowed those like Amistad to fight on a slave ship. They understood their self-worth. They understood their blackness. They understood where they were from, their culture, which united them and made them fight together in a united front to defeat their enemies and defeat their oppressors. Now, if you don't know that, and some of you run around and you say, well, I'm not black. I ain't none of that. You know, I'm just an individual. I don't identify with their culture. You've already lost. You've lost yourself. If you cannot identify with Africa and your motherland and where you come from, you've lost yourself. If you cannot identify with your original languages, you've lost yourself. If you cannot identify with original culture, you've lost yourself. And the fact that you lost yourself sets you up to be replaced with an alien culture. So we took on alien religions. Our people took on alien cultures, alien politics, alien education. We took on that which was not ours in the first place. We started calling ourselves after the names of our slave master, having names like Johnson, which meant son of John or owned by John. We started calling ourselves Williamson, or which meant owned by the Williams. We started calling ourselves after creation instead of after the creator, last name like Willowbrook and Willow Stream and Meadowlark and, you know, Rhodes and all kind of stuff that we began to take on that were not names from our people, which meant that we became colonized. We became captive. And so our people today celebrate their own captivity, and they celebrate their own enslavement, and they celebrate being destroyed as a people. Our people have been destroyed, as the Bible talks about, for the lack of knowledge. That lack of knowledge is not what is being taught in the college system, and that lack of knowledge is not about what is being taught in the lower educational systems of middle school and earlier grades. The lack of knowledge that you lack in today's time, brothers and sisters, is the knowledge of yourself and your people and your culture. That's the knowledge that you lack, and that's the knowledge that we're missing. The knowledge of self, the knowledge of your God, the knowledge of your culture, the knowledge of your people, and what has to be done in today's time is what you must know. The revolutionary culture of a Nat Turner, the revolutionary culture of a Denmark Vesey, the revolutionary culture of a Toussaint Louverture, the revolutionary culture of a Harriet Tubman, the revolutionary culture of a Buchmann, the revolutionary culture of Huey P. Newton and the early Bobby Seale, that's what you're missing. You're missing the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, and missing the spirit of Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and the Minister Hashim Nzinga. You're missing the revolutionary culture and spirit to struggle against your condition. You have acquiesced and accepted it as just a part of reality. Especially you youngsters out there, you have acquiesced and accepted it as your own reality. And so as America does bad, now you're doing bad. If America don't have bread, you don't have bread. If America don't have clothes, you don't have clothes. If America don't have education, you don't have education. Instead of setting up something for yourself. Just like somebody else can plant a seed in the ground, you can plant a seed in the ground. Just like somebody else can write a book, you can write a book. Just like the sheep can shed its wool and you can be manufacturing clothes on your own, somebody else can do it, you can do it too. We can do it. We just have to get organized and begin to get our minds right, get our behinds right, get our finances right, and have a cooperative effort. We got to be coordinated. You got to use your Facebook. Use the technology to inspire people. Use the Twitter to inspire people. Use the Kick. Use the Skype. Use that stuff to educate, inspire, and network. We're wasting too much time out there. We're wasting too much time. 2014 cannot be a waste of time like most of our 2013 was. Sitting around watching reality TV, sitting around wondering what Snooki got on and what the Real Housewives of Atlanta got on and what he said to this one. Wasting time. It's all a distraction. That's just a distraction. That's just like having drugs in your system. That's just a temporary distraction. But when you come down from that reality TV distraction, you come down from that temporary high, from whatever, hitting the blunt, getting drunk, whatever we do to cope with the reality, the fact of the matter is when you come back to yourself, you still got to deal with a real reality. You still have to deal with the fact that your children out there are in danger, that they're being warehoused, that they're being sold on the stock market for money. You have to deal with the fact that out here, children are being kidnapped and sold for sex trades and being sold and killed in some places for organs, and others out here, again, miseducated and taught only a white history, don't learn anything about themselves, being taught how to be better slaves and better servants to the establishment, you got to deal with that. And so we got a big fight on our hands. And it ain't about one man. It ain't about one woman. It ain't about one group or one organization. It's about us working as a collective to make it happen in the best manner. For the new Black Panther Party, we have a big weight on our shoulders. And we have taken what you call the vanguard position, which we intend to do even more of here in just a few short days. You will see new Black Panthers all over the place. You'll see us multiplying the same way termites multiply underneath a house. You will see us multiplying the same way the flowers bloom out in the garden. You will see us multiplying the same way the leaves multiply on the tree limbs. New Black Panthers, new Africans all over the place in America. You're going to say, my God, they're everywhere. Because time where black people put down the plantation politics of the white man and the establishment. And you put down the plantation politics of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Another note on that. It was, I believe, Nixon, I think it was Nixon, who said that in a few years that he would have black people switching over to the Democratic Party. I'm going to get the actual fact right. I think it was Nixon who said he would switch blacks from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party. And there's a big reason for that. I'll talk about that in another show. But at one time, predominantly blacks in America were with Republicans. They were Republicans. And the white folks at one time was predominantly Democrats. Then there was a big shift. There was, for capitalism, a big capitalistic shift that they shifted the parties. So for those of you who believe now that it's more proper to be Democratic today because you think that the Republicans don't have black interests, you're just tripping. They are two sides of the same coin. Got to have your own politics in line. You, as an African in America, you should be concerned about those who are representing your interest, who are representing your interest, not those who will send your children to fight wars for profit, not those who will sentence your children to 50 and 60 years for minor offenses because they're trying to get paid and warehouse your people in the penitentiary, not the politics of those who are interested in corporate backing and the corporations of the banks and the corporations of the rich, but those who have the interest, the grassroots interest of the black man and black woman in mind and in heart. That's where you got to go with it. That's what the Panther Party is all about. It ain't about going behind a curtain and pulling a shower curtain behind you and checking an X. That's not politics. Politics, as you heard the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad say at the beginning of the show, is land, bread, housing, food, clothing, and shelter. That's black politics. Black politics is revolutionary. It's complete constructive change. It's challenging the conditions of your neighborhood, the conditions of your block, the conditions of your city, the conditions of your state of mind, state of being, state of purpose, and overthrowing the revolutionary in the mind, in the heart, in the body, in the soul, in the spirit. Because you cannot have an external revolution where you change the social construct of despair, death, and destruction if you don't have an internal revolution that will internalize the mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit of your new Africanness, your new reality, your new blackness, your new pride, your new example. You're cleaning yourself up. See, Malcolm X, as he learned what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had to teach him about being clean, about his people, about his greatness, it began to clean him up. There was a program there to clean him up. Dewey P. Newton, come up off of the streets. And there was a program there to clean him up, to make him redirect his what he wanted, his criminal activity, into revolutionary activity. Marcus Garvey, there was a program there he put out to clean people up and make them go towards self-interest. Okay? There's a program in the new Black Panther Party that will clean you up. It will make you stand up as a shining light amongst your John Saddam Kwali, your national chief of staff. I wasn't always like this. I wasn't always revolutionarily on it like this. I was taught. I had potential. I learned some things along the way. I had a good foundation, but I didn't know this. I was trained in the New Black Panther Party on many of the revolutionary politics. I studied. I was told where to study. I'd go. You know, I went places. I worked. You know what I mean? I was mentored. You heard Attorney Malik Hussein Shabazz many times, giving me plenty of instructions, plenty of guidance. Out of with Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, plenty of guidance. Huh? Minister Hashim Mzinga, our national chairman, plenty of instruction. And others, plenty of instruction, okay, that stands you up and will put you on a revolutionary path. I'm not an extraterrestrial. The men and women that you hear from and see and others that you'll hear from tonight, they're not extraterrestrials. We come from the same conditions that the average black man and woman comes from in America, and we are an example of what every black man and black woman can be and greater. There are those who are greater than us and can do better than us that are out there. Many of you who are listening, you can do greater works than us. And you can move this program along at a faster pace if you would come in and help the program and the organization. And you would pick up the will to struggle against what you know is coming down the pike. Everybody in America knows it's hard times coming down the pike, even harder times for black people in America. You know it. You can feel it in your heart. You can feel it in your mind. You can feel it in your spirit. What you going to do? You going to acquiesce and let it be, let it happen? You going to just sit there and let whatever happens happen to your people and your family and yourself and just ultimately die as a coward, not challenging the realities of our condition? You're going to sit back and watch other people struggle as we just saw our great warrior come out of the penitentiary. We just saw our great warrior the other day, a political prisoner, come right up out of the penitentiary, but he had spent 40 years, I think it was 40-something years, behind the bar, come out now. So that's 40 years gone that he won't be able to get back. He won't be able to get back 40 years, but it's 40 years worth of sacrifice, 40 years worth of struggle that if he don't struggle today on top of this ground, in this soil, it goes in vain, okay? You can't let the struggles of Harriet Tubman, who was running through them swamps with dogs chasing her, you can't let that struggle go in vain. That little black woman, you can't let the struggles of a Shirley Chisholm, who was called ugly and nigger just for trying to run for a real presidency, you can't let that go in vain. I'm talking about Eddie Marshall Conway. And we say salute to you, OG. Glad and thankful that you're home. Eddie Marshall Conway, released from the jails and the penitentiaries as he served 40-plus years. Black Panther leader, OG Black Panther leader, Eddie Marshall Conway, free. And we say, I say, and thanks to the God that he's out. But there are so many others who are behind the enemy lines and behind them bars. Some of them you know, some of them you may not know, but they've made sacrifices that we can advance. The New Black Panther Party stands on the shoulders of those who have made a hell of a sacrifice and took a hell of a cost and hell of a hit for us to be in the position that we're in. There is no way that we can show dishonor as warriors and dishonor as soldiers and not struggle to exist and liberate our people. Hell, you're going to die anyway. I don't care who you are. All of us have a date and a rendezvous with destiny. No matter where you could stay in a closet for the rest of your life. And one day that accident of time will find you. So why not use your life to the best of your ability to upgrade the living standards and conditions and mental mind frame and scope of your people and yourself? Why not be the best man you can be and the best woman you can be, not a buck-dancing Sambo fool for the establishment and for the oppressor and for your enemies, but be a real black man for your people so that your babies can have an example, that the young can have an example, that the people can have an example, that your women can have an example. You got to be that kind of example for your people in this life. Okay? So the new Black Panther Party, we got instructions. We got a mighty work on our hands. We need more of you to join with the organization right away in your cities. And we will show you how to do it. We're going to tell you how to do it. It's not rocket science. If you got the will to fight, the heart to fight, the heart to organize, the heart to maneuver, the heart to learn, the heart to be taught, you can be a new Black Panther. If you're tall, you can be a new Black Panther. If you're short, you can be a new Black Panther. If you can read, you can be a new Black Panther. If you can't read, we're going to teach you how to read and be a new Black Panther. Hell, if you know how to swim, don't know how to swim, drive a car, ain't got no car. You got a whole lot of money, ain't got no money. Don't matter. You can be a new Black Panther. If you're male, you can be a new Black Panther. Female, you can be a new Black Panther. But you just got to be black. Let me be clear. This is a Black Panther Party. We ain't going to repeat the history of the 60s. Sorry, OGs. We ain't going to be running around with white women all hugged up with white women, hugged up with white actresses, and trying to sleep with white girls to get money. That ain't what we going to do. This is a Black Panther Party, a new Black Panther Party for black people. All right, and so let me get further into the show now. As we are talking about the reemergence of the Black Power Movement or the reemergence of the Black Liberation Movement, we're going to be joined tonight by some bold warriors and some bold freedom fighters. And I know that oftentimes, you know, we normally will push ourselves back. The new Black Panther Party would normally push its own people back so that other people can shine. You know, we want the people to shine. So all the time we have guests, some who are registered in the party, mostly who are not registered, who are black people, that support the cause. They're doing great things, and we always highlight the greats of our people and what people are doing, male and female. But I also want you to know that there is great talent within the new Black Panther Party. There are professionals in our organization who on a day-to-day basis, when they are not struggling, and we struggle all the time, but when they have to do that thing called go to work or work for themselves or make a living, they are professionals in the organization. Some, you know, living that doctor life and doing the doctor thing, the nurse thing, other people. Like, you know, our big brother, Attorney Malik Rishabaz, in the attorney world. I mean, others of you behind that boardroom and you in that office doing the office thing. Others of you in that that media world or that PR world, you're doing that thing. Some of you in that construction world, you straight up hard workers and hard, you know, blue-collar workers, all that's in the party. Others got their own businesses, running their own businesses, their own day-to-day stuff. And they got their own clock to punch in, their own overhead to deal with, their own employees. All that's here. And others just work for self, and some are just full-time soldiers, and they soldier full-time. Okay? So all that's here. And the full social dynamic of the community is here in the organization. Say that to say, we are brothers and sisters just like you. We got overheads, we got bills, we got all kind of stuff, but we make it happen. We don't pimp our people. We don't take your donations like some organizations and get rich off of you and be riding around with all kinds of stuff, you know what I mean? And we got that from the people but don't get back to the people. That ain't us. We sacrifice to make sure that our people have a real program and a real strategy, real institutions that are coming up. Like I told you before, we're interested in building institutions in America. Well, soon you're going to see that red, black, and that green flying around a whole lot more. We're starting off now with just our headquarters, which is where the National Summit is at. Our national headquarters for the first time in probably 40 years, the Panthers have a national headquarters since the early days of the 60s. And Huey P. Newton opened their first branch up in Oakland. We got one now in Atlanta, Georgia. Details on that to be announced. But I ain't going to give you you agents and no leads up, no heads up that fast. I ain't going to make it easy for you. You're going to take that taxpayer money and get your work, and you're going to do some work. But at the same time, we got it for our people. It'll be open as a service to our people. Don't have clothes, they're going to get clothes. If they don't know African history, they're going to learn their history. You can take your babies right from the killing field to the school system and take your babies over to the new Black Panther headquarters, and they're going to be taught. After-school programs. They're going to be taught arts and crafts and culture. You know, they're going to be taught, of course, martial arts and self-defense. They're going to be taught some real stuff, some stuff they ain't getting nowhere else. You're going to be taught some stuff you ain't getting nowhere else, all right, right here in America. This ain't no reality TV series. This is real life right here. You're going to get it from the New Black Panther Party. So we started through the organizational efforts, through us being out there with the people, the donations of the people and the will and the backing of our people. Now we have acquired the first institution, which I told you, the national headquarters. This was a goal from the Honorable Dr. Kamal Abdul-Muhammad. And so now we got it. And it's here live and in the flesh, and we're going to launch it to the world and have our first national summit in it, put that fresh, plush carpet in it, and, you know, put us our nice pictures up, Panthers all over the place. I mean, y'all going to see it. It's going to be top class. It's top class and first class, deserving of black people. And we're going to spread from that headquarters, other headquarters all across the country. All other headquarters are going to be modeled after that headquarters, but you just got to give it your own flavor with the proper guidance from our instructions, our manual, and things like that. It is a real movement, that has popped up. This movement will affect the hip-hop generation. It's going to affect those of you who think that you pimps. It's going to affect those of you who think you gangsters, street tribes. It's going to affect you who are blue-collar, white-collar workers, the corporate boardroom. This movement, this black power movement, will not escape anybody. You all will be touched by this movement in one way, shape, form, or fashion, and you will be encouraged and compelled to help this movement if you care about the survival of your people. That's how deep it's going to be, and it is. We are connected to the survival of our people. The survival of our people is connected to the vanguard struggle. Okay, so I want you to know that we represent you, you represent us. We are connected. When you see us on TV from here on out, you're going to see yourself. You ain't going to see something alienated. You ain't going to see something far out. You ain't going to see something grandiose. You're going to see yourself. When you see any of our representatives on television, when you hear us on the radio, when you hear us anywhere in America, you read our newspaper, you're going to be able to relate to it right away. You're going to be able to understand it right away. It's going to be in a language that is right down to your people's language in your modern time. All right? That's what time it is. So black power is now in your homes. It's now in your supermarket. We want to teach our people how to eat better. We can't talk black power and be eating with a slave diet, eating all kind of greasy fat foods. You're eating all kind of hog maws and chitlins and everything else with all them your kind of worms and parasites in the food, getting all into your brain, into your bloodstream, messing your body up, messing your blood up, messing your heart up, messing your mind up, messing your spirit up, all kind of greasy food, fattened food, eating all kind of cholesterol-filled drinks and foods, all kinds of things that tan you up. We want to get you on a better diet, black man. A black woman, a better nutritional field dietary. Black Panthers, I'm talking to you too. I want you to do that righteously and right now and right away. Stop drinking so much damn alcohol if you're getting drunk out there. Some of you so damn drunk you couldn't plan a revolution if a revolution was right in your face. Some of you so damn high you couldn't plan a revolution if a revolution was right in your back pocket. All right? Everything in proper moderation, sometimes nothing at all. Proper moderation. Got to train out there and get the bodies together. Some of us too damn fat. Some of us too damn skinny. All right? Proper dietary, proper nutrition, proper weight, proper thoughts. We don't get into all that. The reemergence of a black power movement will start with you. So, we want to go now. It's 9 o'clock. I want to apologize to my comrades coming on. I took an extra 6 minutes, and I'm sorry about that, but I had to get that in there. So we're going to go right now to bring in some strong soldiers. I think they're on with us. We want to talk to our Supreme Captain, Deputy National Minister of Defense, Brother Hakeem Muhammad, who is a longtime soldier with us, dedicated soldier with us, and a brother who is a part of the defensive apparatus and mechanisms of our organization. As I said, Deputy National Minister of Defense. Man ain't no joke. Man is a former what you call zebra killer. He served time for not talking about killing some white folks. And man, at a certain time in self-defense, had to kill some white folks in self-defense. All right? He's a zebra. We call him zebra killer. All right? So his time is over now. We can talk about it. He's a Deputy National Minister of Defense. Going to talk to our national field marshal, the man who many of you all at first come into contact with and learned about from National Geographic. And I hate the way that they did this, brother, on National Geographic, although we know we can't expect much from the enemy. We understand that God used that National Geographic to spread certain images and certain messages across the world, even though they were incorrect, some of them. But he was able to be propelled around the world as a national field marshal. And his face is known. When you Google New Black Panther Party, certainly one of his faces is going to pop up as a soldier in this mission, a man who has been around for years and has grown and developed and is becoming a more refined, crisper, sharper field marshal. This man is going to have to come in the spirit of D.C. Don Cox and Elbert Big Man Howard. He's going to have to begin to step out here more, train brothers and sisters on real self-defense. He's going to have to get out of here more and begin to marshal the grounds of America. He is your national field marshal. He's going to have to be charged with standing up black men and black women all across this country and building an army that the New Black Panther Party can train as the vanguards of the liberation struggle. He's going to do that, and he's growing into that role, and we're proud of him. Minister King Zamir Shabazz, be on with us in a few moments, and we'll hear from that great, bold, revolutionary warrior queen who comes in the spirit of Asada Shakur. She comes in the spirit of the great Harriet Tubman. She comes in the spirit of the great Zafia Bukhari. She comes in them spirits, and she's manifested. She is a hard worker, day to day, night to night, never resting on the liberation struggle. I don't personally know of a time when this sister sleeps and is not thinking about the revolutionary struggle, the liberation of our people. She's a dedicated worker 24 hours a day, a great, great example of the leadership of black women in the hills of North America and throughout the world, a great example of what any woman in the world can be like if she's imbued with the revolutionary spirit of her ancestors and the people. She is that, and she's our National Minister of Information. She's the communicatory point woman of the organization. She's responsible for much of the propaganda that you see that's rolling out there, and much of that you might have heard about in terms of the New Black Panther Party's Twitter and the communicatory networks, the paper, the websites, and all of that. She's point person and all of that, that kind of organizer. And she's working to make sure that the message of the New Black Panther Party gets across to our people loud and clear. As in the past, it has been very much confused. You didn't know what the hell we believe. Y'all thought we were some kind of racist-ass, backwards radicals. But you didn't know all the time. We was revolutionary guerrillas right here in your urban midst. All right, so we want to also welcome to the conversation Sister Amira Sankofa Kweli, who is on with us and will be on with us with the rest of her comrades, and they're all going to come on. So at this time, I want to go ahead and just open up the microphone for this bill that we're about to have. And we're also going to take your questions at 646-478-4447. You can get in, and I'll let it be known. We're going to pull them in at this time. And they're going to build, and they're going to come in and talk about the reemergence of the Black Power movement, the New Black Panther movement, the Black Nationalist movement, and revolutionary movements here in America and elsewhere. And they're going to inspire you. They're going to fire you up. They're going to get you invigorated to do this work. So we'll bring them all in at this point, and they're going to have to lead a disciplined discussion and take us further into the broadcast. Let's welcome right now Minister King Zamir Shabazz, Supreme Captain Hakeem Muhammad, National Minister of Information, Sister Amira Sankofa. Black Power, comrades, welcome to the broadcast.
Black Power, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. That was the voice of our National Field Marshal, Supreme Captain. Are you
yes,
on
sir.
All right, the Supreme Captain Hakeem Muhammad, can you hear him? He died. definitely can be heard. You'll probably click in a second. But Phil Marshall, go ahead, sir. You're on live.
All right. I just want to say black power to the family, to all. Death to white supremacy. Black power. Can you hear me? All right.
Yes,
let's roll.
Sir,
all right. Great. Great. I would say, I want to say black power to all the family and all the listening audience. And I would not be me if I definitely did not say death to white supremacy. I want to talk about the emergence and the re-emergence. And y'all have to pardon this black brown noise. As usual, I'm rolling around. I'm just coming out of the studio, so I'm en route right now, going out in the field and sit down and, you know, build with some of our people out in the streets, man, as I've, you know, been straining myself to do. So I'm trying to be as focused as possible, staying busy. But I'm ready to get down and get busy for the people. We have to look at what's ahead of us right now. We're looking at race war. And that's just clear cut about it. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. I'm not going to dilly-dally with it because we have to talk about black survival. And in black survival, there's a lot, black family, that has to be dealt with that. We have to learn how to store our foods and waters and our drinks and granola bars and medical kits and tents and sleeping bags. We have to know about how to properly be able to heat ourselves when it's super cold outside and inside. So we have a whole lot behind us because we've been set black, as I always say, 500 years black since No Drama Obama has come into office. So we got a hell of a lot of work to do. So we don't have time to be sitting around twerking. We don't have time to be sitting around geeking and freaking. It's time to get out in these streets, black man. It's time to get out in these streets, black woman, and raise the minds of black people. Now, let's just be clear about this. Everybody's mind ain't going to want to be raised. So it's no need to keep forcing somebody who don't want to learn the knowledge of themselves or even appreciate their own blackness. Because as the messenger said, some folks are just going to have to die, brother, you know? So we have to come to grips with that. As I stated, we're so far behind, bro. I don't even know where to start of a reemergence because we got a lot of catching up to do. But I do want to say I'm honored, most humbly honored, to just be a member of the blackest, the greatest, most militant organization in the hells and smells of North America in 2014. And I'm honored to be a part of the reemergence, the resurgence, the refining, and the removal of the Negro mess and the Negroes. So I'm looking forward to stepping up to my duty as the National Field Marshal. I'm looking forward to rolling from state to state, country to country, city to city, township to township, project to project, and even home to home, if necessary, to raise the minds of our people for black survival. Because we can no longer sit and wait on Pastor Pigfoot. We can't sit and wait on Imam Abdul. We can't sit and wait on no goddamn body but our own black selves. So if we can't rely, love, and have unity amongst our own black self, then what is the point of even living? What is the point of saying that we're revolutionaries if we're not going to give our lives or even take a life in self-defense for the liberation and salvation of the black nation? There's too much damn talking going on and there ain't enough walking being seen. There's too many pictures being taken, but hell, everybody want to be in front of Glamour magazine. Everybody want to be in, everybody want to just be seen, brother. You understand what I'm saying? This is not a time to be seen. If you want to be seen, get caught doing some work, period. Get caught at least taking a stance against something. We can no longer sit in a damn house, sit on Facebook and just rant and rave and rant and rave about all your damn business and most of your business has nothing to do with the liberationary struggle of black people. We have no more time to be sitting on any damn social media website just popping off at the mouth. There's no more time for that, man, seriously, because you should be cleaning your guns. You should be taking some self-defense classes. You should be teaching and training your black woman, black men. if they really want to be trained, you should be teaching your black man, black woman, if they really want to be trained. But we have no choice, black family. We have no choice in this matter right now. Either you're going to wake up or you're going to die. It is just that simple. Wake up or die. It is just that simple. So we can no longer play in between. You can't play the white man's defense attorney. You cannot keep playing the bootlicker. You cannot keep playing the house nigger. You cannot keep playing the porch monkey. God damn it, you're going to have to be a field nigger. And you're going to have to get out in the field, and you're going to have to take it to the slave master, rugged and raw, because that's the only damn thing this cracker would ever understand, taking it straight to his backbone. But first, we got to have a backbone. The new Black Panther Party makes history everything that we do. And I'm going to say it again. Everything the new Black Panther Party does, we make history. Why do we make history? Because we carry on the legacy of Huey P. Newton. We carry on the legacy of Fred Hampton. We carry on the legacy of all of the unknown Panthers who have lost their lives in the struggle for revolutionary freedom and justice and independence. We carry on the legacy of Sister Sophia Bakari, and you definitely know we damn sure carry on the legacy of Khalid Abdul Muhammad. That is where we stand. We ain't going to shake about it. We ain't going to fake about it. God damn it, we're going to shake your behind and rock your mind. So get ready, suit up and boot up if you really, really ready to get some serious work done out here in these streets for black people. I have no time for Pink Panther sissies, donut-eating, bagel-swallowing pumps. It is time for the black man to either stand up or kill your damn self. Black power.
Black power, comrade. Black power. That was a strong beginning. I mean, what can someone say behind that? What can we really express in our practice? It's real serious out here, and you're absolutely right with all the changes that we have going on within our organization and how beautifully it's coming together and how some of us are really working together to get out there and recruit. And I definitely want to give a shout out to, because, you know, with all that powerful speech and brother and all that ass whooping you just gave the listening audience, I definitely want to come in with the different spirit as well, but a strong spirit as well. With that said, I think it's very, very important that we get into how we have so many chapters and so many reasons for putting how important it is for us to get out there and make it happen. And I definitely want to thank the Central Region, Brother Daryl and all the rest of them, Sister Tanya and Brother Dominique and Sister Dee and Brother Hakeem, and there's so many of them to thank, Brother Perry and Brother Virgil and, you know, those good comrades out of the Midwest. I definitely want to thank Brother Shalom, King Shalom. And also, you know, even the Virginia, Mid-Atlantic chapter, I definitely want to thank. And I definitely think you all are definitely improving. You're trying your best to do what you need to do. Again, sometimes you have to come strong to our brothers and sisters, brother, comrade, because it's absolutely necessary. If we don't come strong to them and push them, then they won't do the work. So with that said, I want to thank Brother Peru, Sister Chuma, and Brother Sadiato, and I want to thank brothers and comrades like that who are really trying to push the Mid-Atlantic to a different level. That's very important out there. We definitely have to get our apparatuses together, and I definitely want to give a strong shout-out to the East Coast region. We have, and this is just some, I'm not naming every soldier, but the ones who are standing out at this point, I mean, it's some more that's probably underground and under the woodwork that's doing a damn thing. And, you know, I appreciate you as well. So don't be upset or offended because I don't necessarily mention you at this time. But, you know, you'll have your time. But with that said, it's Brother Ishmael who's pushing strong out of the East Coast region. Sister Christy, we have. Of course, you, King Samir, our National Field Marshal, who's always consistent in his delivery. You're always doing what you're supposed to do and what's instructed and what's expected of you. So that goes without saying. But we also have people also like Brother Bilal that's pushing the troops, that's going to a new level, that's taking the East Coast. These comrades are taking the East Coast to a different level. This hasn't been in Panther history on the terms of the New Black Panther Party. I'm very proud of these comrades. You know, I definitely am proud of it. Then we have the Southeast region. We can't just begin to talk about the work within the New Black Panther Party without even mentioning Brother Mikhail is like a, he like five, Brother Mikhail and Sister Monica pushing the region and many others, Brother Kojo and Brother James Muhammad, who's really, you know, pushing the organization and taking it to a whole level. That's really important that we get people involved in what we need to do. It's really, really important that we reach out and extend our olive branch to make our chapters more than what we, you know, be. We want always, Mr. Huey P. Newton always talked about a true revolutionary is never satisfied. And as a true revolutionary, you should never be satisfied with the conditions that are around you. You should always want to upgrade. You should always want to do your best. 10%, 125,000%, not just 100%, but your best and more. And you have to aspire to do different things, you know. And then out of the southern region, of course, we have our supreme captain on the line and Brother DK and brothers and sisters like that and Sister Marsha, which is a great soldier that's newly coming with us. And I definitely want to give a olive branch out to them and some of the new sisters coming in because we're trying to do something new for our sisters within our organization that has never been done before. We are reaching out to do a sisterhood training class that all, instead of one person teaching it, it will be all the sisters all clearly involved in trying to push and move and do different things. So if you're talented in this apparatus, if you're good at this, if you're good at sewing, or if you're good, I'm just giving an example, because in revolution, you do need to know how to sew because you might have to stitch up a wound. It ain't just about clothing and garments, but you have to be able to aspire to do these different things. You know, we need people that know how to do first aid and different people that can train because we're always going somewhere else and outside of the house when clearly we have people inside of the house that can offer these different things. And it's very important that we look forward to working with these brothers and sisters. And don't get me wrong, definitely with the sisters, like I was explaining about the sisters thing that we're trying to start here. But it's important. It's not division. It's not coming in the hearts of division. So, brothers, hold on to your pants. We're not doing anything that's going against our brothers because the point is we have to be women first so we can be able to stand in correlation with our brothers so we can be able to fight because as women, yes, we might be beasts, but we fight differently. We're not the same people, and that's one of the things that we have to understand, but at the same time, there's no favoritism, there's no sexism and different things like that, but we still have to do some things a little bit differently than a man would do. Our defense techniques may be a little bit differently. We have to learn, we have to be taught some things a bit differently, and that's just honest. And it doesn't make us beneath the brother, does not make us underneath the brother, but it's some things that we have to definitely learn how to do. And so with men training, that is a requirement as well. Brothers need a lot of training because some of us, let's be honest, did not have men in the household. You know what I mean? And some of us, even now in today's society, we didn't have women in the household. So it's nothing like a brother growing up and not having that motherly love that he's required. We always talk about brothers not being there for children. They have not been there for children. They didn't give them that hug, you know, every now and then and patching their sores, you know, putting a Band-Aid on it and that kind of thing and just telling them, you're all right. You're going to be all right, baby. We haven't had all of that, you know, within our black community because of the way society is made up today, because of the fact that our mothers are being snatched out, they're either going with Susie, you know, or they're also going along and going to jail. They might be prostituting themselves, they're living a street life or doing different things that takes them away from the home. And it's not, if you look at it and you understand what exactly is going on within our black nation, you will understand that that's by design. That's not something that we as Africans say, hey, I'm going to do this. The particular lifestyle has been perpetuated upon us because we weren't doing that shit in Africa, you know, or Nubia or ancient Egypt. So we have to be honest with ourselves, and we have to look at, you know, what we need to do for our brothers and our sisters within our organization and outside of our organization, because it makes us better soldiers and warriors. It's a difference between a soldier and it's a difference between a warrior. A soldier trained, which is great, but by blood, everybody else within the black nation, we are bound by blood. We have an oath within our blood that binds us to make us naturally fight. And I don't mean fight. I don't mean ignorant stuff. I'm not talking along those lines. I'm talking about by nature. We're tribal people. When we feel like someone is coming to attack us, we attack just like panthers. That's like what a panther is. That's why they say that by nature that everybody is a panther. It's just different formations. It's whatever formation you might be able to jail with. Some of us can't jail with the new Black Panther Party because of our strong politics and because of the way that we roll here and there. It might be, you know, too hard for some people, you know, or some people are just not ready at this time, but they're, you know, added support system. We call them auxiliaries or the part of the Black Power movement, all right? So in a war, like I said, and a soldier is trained. A soldier understands. A warrior has the instinct. A soldier is taught the instinct. So that's what I always do like half and half, because it is a difference. It's not really the same thing. So when we begin to talk and understanding what a warrior is, we have to be able to discuss it firmly, and we have to be able to break it down. And then key thing is when we talk about politics, We're not just talking about politics, Democratic and Republican. We're talking about understanding the politics, because everything is political. And understanding everything is political up on what you wear, who you talk to, the way you talk to people, the way you raise your hand up, the way you wear your hair, the way your garment looks, the way your outfit looks, the way you may stand to the left. I don't know. It's just everything is political. And understanding that in the way that we deal with each other, we have to deal with each other accordingly, because we're all warriors by nature. And sometimes warriors by nature, and we're tribal, sometimes we can kind of bump against each other. And that's just nothing but that. That's just a part of training. And that's when the soldier apparatus comes in, because you have to be trained in how to deal with people. You have to understand the key components of dealing with your brother, with your sister, to be able to learn from that. On the field is on the what they call, what in the white man's world, on the job training. And on the job training, you basically learn right then and there. Some things you have to be taught, and some things is on the field, the maneuvers that we do. And that's why it's very important. I'm getting into something. I know it sounds like I'm kind of rambling, but I'm not really. I have a method to my madness. That's why it's important that we get to national summit. It's very important that we get there, because we can get that type of training. Us as warriors, we can get these types of soldier training. We can learn certain types of instincts. We can learn how to, because some of us don't know how to do that, and that's important. To learn in a matter of self-defense. We all, as so-called homeowners or people who have apartments or somewhere where you live in, you have to have your gun. You know what I mean? You have to have some type of weapon of choice, because if you don't have it, and what I say by weapon of choice, and you all probably heard me before, but I'm talking to the nation upon training, a weapon of choice, and Brother Malcolm talks about it, and also there's a book written by Gordon Parks about a weapon of choice. A weapon of choice can be a pen, paper, phone, camera, any of those things, you know, a video camera. It could be your feet. It could be your mouth. Because your mouth is a deadly weapon. It's not just physical. It's not just me pulling out a gun. It's not just me pulling out a knife. again, these are things that we're going to be teaching at the summit. We're going to learn how to defend even on a mental level, even on a political organizational level, and welcoming to training of becoming a Panther. Different things that we need to know, not just within the Through Black Panther Party, but just in your daily life. And then going into then, what is the foundation? You know, I know that a lot of us, you know, like the National Chief of Staff stated, he says that, you know, that a lot of us, we have myths, we have stereotypes that people think of us as crazy news, just walking around with guns, and we just do security. No, ma'am, no, sir. We're not just security folk. We are people that also bear witness to training our people on a level. It could be health level of what not to eat and how to eat it and what type of herb to use because, hell, let's be honest, healthcare sucks, you know, here in America. We don't have free healthcare. This is not a socialist society. You know, it's a capitalist, an imperialist society. And because of that, we have to pay for health care. Or either that, you get on government health care, and you know how shoddy that is. So with that said is these are things we have to begin to do preventative health care, and these are things we have to be taught to use herbs and how to apply it and not to mix this herb with that herb because it'll make you crazy or something. And we have to just understand what exactly we're doing. So it's important and imperative that we all try to reach out to the summit and even, like, to the public, to the people who are not Panthers, but you might want to come down there and check us out to see how we do things and see and find out that we're actually really good folks. We're just like you. We are the people. We are the people. We're regular people. We do the same things that you all do. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. So in understanding that, in conclusion, I think that it's very important that we, you know, get to our summit. The details would be definitely listed up on the website coming soon this week. And also the picture of our lovely headquarters will be listed up on the website. And so these are things that we have to really get into, and we have to begin to support not only our soldiers. Usually a lot of times we say leadership. No, it's not just leadership who needs to be supported, but soldiers need to be supported. Leadership as well, but we need to support our soldiers, our warriors by nature, and we have to support our leadership. And so all imperative because, again, if you go back to leadership, the father of the Black Panther Party, and a lot of us don't want to admit it because we're afraid of Malcolm that said if he had stronger people behind him, he may have been still alive today. For the simple fact of not just, I know a lot of us are just saying it's just the government fault. No, it ain't just the government fault. We know what the government does and what it's capable of doing, but at the same time, if he had a strong backing behind him like he should have, the security sense, and then they didn't have that William O'Neill in the midst, things would have been a lot differently. He would have made it. So in understanding that, we have to be clear on who the enemy is. We have to know the enemy. That's one of the order. That's the, not just the order of war, but that's actually the order of the 48 laws of power. You have to know your enemy. How can you truly attack your enemy if you don't know who your enemy is? And that's one of the things. That's the thing that's the worst thing within the Black community is our people are confused about who the enemy is. And it's up to us, not just the new Black Panther Party and the new Black Panther Party nation, but it's about our whole entire nation and understand that all of us should be teaching our youth. We talk about training. National Field Marshal mentioned about training our wives and our mates, but hell, we need to start training our children. Our children need to understand. My father, when I was coming up, used to take me outside in the middle of our, teach me how to shoot. He would teach me how to use a knife and the way to cut things, how to cut fruit, how to cut, you know, different things. And these are things that we have to begin to teach and practice with our children, because if we don't do this, our children are not going to make it. And then with this increase on them attacking our our black boys and killing them and taking their body parts out, if we teach our children how to fight and how to make it, some of these things will be lessened. And some of these other people will be taken out because guess what? In self-defense, of course, in self-defense, don't try to say, Cracker, that I said something else. I said in self-defense. We have to start teaching our children these kinds of things. But I definitely want to leave a mark. We want to leave a mark on the world, and we want our people to really stand up, Black Power. All right, let's go ahead and get the Supreme Captain on. I think this is the Supreme Captain, 214-672. All right, Black Power, come on, Supreme Captain, do your spiel.
All right, it's all right, baby. I can't complain. Peace, greetings, honor, and salutation. My 24 elders in the East, who fought over the history of the Asiatic black man some 25,000 years in this day. It is indeed a blessing as well as a privilege to come before everybody with the spirit of truth. Not my truth, the truth that Black Power General Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad has left us with. I'd like to thank Allah for making it possible, sister, that you give me a chance to speak and greet our people before we get ready to head that way. So how's everybody doing today? Well, everybody's speaking well. Black Power, everybody's okay?
Black Power, we're fine. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, okay. Brother, hold on just a second. I'm going over a recertification package that I'm putting together. I'm scheduled to speak, I believe, Sunday night. I will be bringing a special guest to speak. But what we're doing was, while we was with Dr. Malik at Savory Day, and the minister had him to stand up, Minister Farrakhan had Dr. Malik to stand up, and he recognized our brother for his good works, and he told him, brother, whatever you do, don't let the Black Panther Party fall apart. These were the instructions from Minister Farrakhan. That day, brother, you weren't your... Well, there last year when we went to Savory Day, people had tears in their eyes. They had love for us. There's Farrakhan had put a college picture on the backdrop and like so that you could see that our brother, he died for something. So he said, the Quran says, speak not an old brother dead till you perceive not, for they are still alive. A dude told me the other day, he said, brother, why come y'all black brother believe in Brother Khalid? He dead. I said, you don't even know what you're talking about, homeboy. You got a flip for even saying something like this. And if you really knew what you were saying, you wouldn't even open your mouth to other stuff like the Brother Khalid is not dead. When you look at me and you see me, you see Brother Khalid. When you look at Hashim and Zinger, you see Brother Khalid. When you look at Shah Saddam Kweli, you see Brother Khalid. When you see Sister Amira Sankofa, you see Brother Khalid. When you see King Samir, you see Brother Khalid. When you see Brother DK, the National MOD, you see Brother Khalid. Brother Khalid is not dead. So what we want to do this year, I'm adding an extra added attraction. I'm going out to paperwork. We're going to do what we're going to call Panther certification. New Black Panther Party certification. We want everybody who comes to the summit to make all the workshops. We don't want nobody to be late. We want everybody to be on time. Brother Malcolm said he always showed up 10 minutes before every event, so that way he made sure that he would never be the last person to come through the door and he wouldn't miss what was going down. Brother Collins said, perhaps some of us have forgotten that here today. Some of us have lost our religion, that we have lost our culture and our God. And by the way, some of us people have we've even lost our mind. So what we want to do at the summit that's coming up, we have a lot of workshops and programs that your brothers and sisters are sitting down and done and worked out. Me, myself, I have plenty of videos I'm bringing. Last year, we went to the summit to free Hashim and Zinger. We raised the money for our national chairman. He's out there. He's working hard. He's doing some great work. But Shah Saddam Kweli, we got to give you your dibs. You're doing great work, great, great, great work. Brother, when I come on this country 4 years ago, the program was struggling. But now I see you going to overtime, doing double shows. Brother, just to let you know that the God is with us. And if he's on our side and what is for the world to be a gift, we're not trying to be anti-anything, just pro-black. As long as we're being black and proud, we can't lose. We have to win. Moving right along. Basically, this is what it is. Me, myself, 3 years, I served your as a brother to a brother.
I don't know anything about Chip Thornton to the tune of simplicity, but around and perpetrating the problem with the right damn white man. He's not my problem. My problem is being pro-black. Charity starts at home. It spreads abroad. For 23 years now, 23 years, brothers and sisters, we've been moving and grooving and doing things. Last year, just for an example for myself, I left with a sister and left a young brother only from Dallas. Now to be assigned to one of the southern region, we come back, we got a sister in Austin, Sister Marcia. We got another brother in San Antonio, Brother Carl. We got another brother in New Orleans, Brother Harold. The region is growing. So everybody else that is trying to hold on to the rope of the law has blessed us with respecting that rope out, and we want everybody to grab a hold. We need to all be synchronized. It's one thing about a strong, well-oiled machine. It works in sequel. Everybody has a purpose. When I was in prison, before I came out, we always said that you had to find out where you fit in when you get in to be part of the body of the new Black Panther Party. We have a chairman who's the head with Hashim Singer. Me, I'm the leg. I'm trying to take the organization where the new Black Panther Party go. So that leaves feet, that leaves hands, that leaves arms. So everybody needs to feed in when we get in. Know who you are. Come prepare with your pencil. Come prepare with your paper. And don't forget to bring your money. Me, I all need some economical structure. Because economical black power, buying power is what makes us function and operate. I myself also will be bringing an economical package that will be available for everybody, especially on the East Coast, the West Coast, and down in the 30 South. We have a program that we're putting together with Amped Energies and stuff. And if the brother wants to make $1 million legally, obviously, we're going to show everybody how to write this program up. Get out there, get the money, and we're going to see if we can get some of the things that we need this year. So we have a lot of new things. We're going into the 21st century. We need everybody to think black, think power, think strong. The way that we do, we must take along with one another and not be an individual. We need to take as a family, as a unit. We also have programs that we're setting up for the sisters, not just for the Panther males, but the Panther females and the Cubs, the little Panthers. We got to see that they get a program that's strong for them and push it, because remember, a brother like myself is just another OG, another day. But the youngsters that are coming up, the new Panther Cubs, we got to see if they have it their way. So everybody, be prepared, get ready. The summit is coming. It's not next year. It's just right around the corner. So we need everybody. The southern region will be rolling in. We've already put our strategy package. The Panther, we are all coming. We know how, when, and where. We're organized. When the national MOD said, brother, what we need to do this and do that, it's a done deal. We're already ready. We're prepared to go out. We won't be late. We'll shoot straight, but we won't be late. So everybody, prepare yourself. Govern yourself accordingly. Get ready. Clean this mirror. I'm going to DJ. We all got a lot of work to do. Sure. I'd like to compliment you for what you've done so far, for your great words. A whole year, brother. We came last year, and here we are back again with a new agenda, taking the new Black Party to the 21st century, taking it to a higher level. So the old people who are procrastinating, they stay back. No, it's not that we can't listen with them. We got to go on. It's one thing that Master Trevor said to me, I said, brother, the East Coast to take it. He's like you say, we don't even know them no way. And I thought about it. I said, who's on the East Coast to defend? I couldn't think. So it's not my problem. My problem is like Jesus. If you lower down some people that are outside looking for you, they still instead your mother and your brothers. And Jesus said to the people, say, they're not my brothers and sisters with me. So this is what Father Collin wanted us to do. This is what he started this for. Our national chairman is saying that he said to us, a new national headquarters in Atlanta. Jesus, I got to see that I would call for Dallas, Texas to keep it alive and kick it. Even Michael might have started this is not here. This belongs to Brother Collin, because when you give somebody something, you can't take it back. It'll make you an Indian giver. And the Indian already said the white man for a tongue. So we're not going to perpetrate no fraud. There will be no fraud perpetrated on the right. We're asking everybody to black fraud, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody at the summit. I said black power yesterday, black power today, and black power tomorrow. Black power, black power, black power. I leave you, brother, with the word of the hour. Remember, the race is not given to the swift, but to the strong. But those who Black Panther Party members, that can learn endeavor all day long. I leave that away. I come Black Power again. But the sun, take it, brother.
Right. Hey, brother, Black Power, Black Power, Black Power.
I want to thank you, brother, teacher, and sister. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Brother Supreme Captain. Hold on, I hope you all can hear me, Brother Supreme Captain. I want to thank you for your words, black man, your strong words and strong stance. And you are an example, brother. You are an example of how to, number one, get past your younger years into your middle years, which become some of the best years, and still struggle. You know, you've been struggling since, you know, I don't mean struggling from bad. I mean struggling in the cause since a young man. And you rolled with the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad all through your 30s and all that good stuff. And still rolling. Roll with Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz. Roll with our national chairman now, Minister Hashim Mzenri. And you just have been a great example, black man, of how to overcome difficulty and continue to struggle in the mission. Black man who has even been shot, you know, treacherous, traitorous bastard to try to take you out. And by God's grace, you survived. God had a better plan for you and made you stronger. And you have continued. So we salute you on Black Power Radio, and your organization salutes you, brother, for your help and your work. And same thing with Minister King Samir Shabazz, brother. We salute you and thank you for your dedication. A black man who some of you know went to jail earlier this year. You know, the pigs vamped on the black man, and some believe that he was even set up through treacherous means, and pigs vamped on our brother, but by God's grace, he is safe and secure and able to continue to fight. Again, the Creator, God has a plan for that black man. And even though many of you don't understand, some of you don't understand his stances, the hard stances, you know, you got to, again, think about those who came before him, like Annette Turner and others who was harsher than him. They wasn't just saying some things. They was doing some things. He's wise. He's being guided wisely and getting that mission across. And so we appreciate his dedication, his work, things that he does for the cause that many of you would never know about. And we are thankful that he has been able to continue the mission, you know, being, again, another one of those influenced by the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, taught and trained by Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, taught and trained by Minister Hashim Mzinga, and taught and trained by some great ones. He's made for the mission. The ancestors called him like they called us captain, and like they called our National Minister of Information, and a true comrade and true warrior who really, really goes beyond gender. I mean, she is really a capable black woman who really, really outdoes many of those who have been around longer than she has, and really chose the greatness of having black women in your organization. She is one of those. And for any organization out there that does not want to have the black woman in your organization, or you are some way, in some shape, form, or fashion, trying to keep the black woman out of your organization, I don't really too much want nothing to do with you unless it's just something tactical. I mean, seriously, because you are really missing a great blessing, having these black women in the organization and in high capacity. High capacity in the organization, not just, you know, sex objects or coffee givers or lunch makers, but straight up revolutionary sisters. You're really missing a blessing. And we are blessed in the new Black Panther Party to have capable sisters, female freedom fighters and sister warriors who are in this organization who are just as dedicated as the black man and sometimes more dedicated than the black man. It is these sisters who will help to finance, who will go the extra mile, who would do what it takes, who would do what's necessary, will even fight, kill, bleed, die, but most importantly, live if necessary. And that's no slap to the black man, because these black brothers and sisters, brothers that are here with us, they'll do that in an instant as well. We're really a blessed organization and really we have blessed membership, and we're thankful. And we're doing nothing but getting better. So for those of you who may have said, well, you know, you all haven't been all over the TV. Y'all been kind of quiet for a little while. We're not quiet. We have swept in front of our own front door. And I encourage you to do that in your personal life. Instead of, you know, talking so much and running the mouth so much, take time to do inventory and sweep in front of your own front door. The New Black Panther Party has swept in front of its own front door and cleaned up what was in its backyard. We are a sharper organization and a more efficient organization. And as our family in the nation said, we're right down to the modern time. So, with that said, join this movement. Now, that number to call is 347-903-0886 to join this movement. 347-903-0886 is our national line. You call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you want to register for the National Summit, you call that number as well. And you know that website, which we are constantly working on upgrading. As soon as we can get it just right, it's going to be out of this world, that we used to say, out of sight. It's going to be out of this world. Right now, it has exclusive video on it of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad as he just come back from meeting Steve Harvey and working some things for the Million Youth March. And he was there with his son at that time, now known as Farrah Gray, and our national chairman, now Minister Hashim and Zynga, and they were just traveling, man. And he was on there cutting up, you know, dancing and talking and throwing stuff in the back of the trunk and checking into the hotel and moving and shaking. I mean, it's exclusive video on newblackpanther.com and the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad from the vaults that we got. And we got, like I say, announcements and video of our national chairman, but much, much more to be there here shortly. Just give me a minute and give us a minute. We're going to make that New Black Panther paper digital for you all so that you can get that paper on a regular basis wherever you are. Even if you don't have New Black Panther soldiers in your area, you can go right to newblackpanther.com. Here in a moment, you're going to be able to click download and download our latest edition of the paper. And it's going to come out pretty quick and pretty regular. You're going to have that. You're going to have, of course, the New Black Panther merchandise, the shirts. Some of you all have seen and inquired about the shirts and inquired about the sweatshirts. I mean, sweat jogging pants, sweatsuits, and the hats and the shoes and all that. It's going to be right there on newblackpanther.com. Job opportunities, economic opportunities, educational formats, what to do when stopped by the police, as compiled and put together by our former national chairman, Freddie Malik Zulu Shabazz, and Black Lawyers for Justice, what to do when the FBI knocks, and all that good stuff coming right up off of newblackpanther.com. And so, you know, this is the place to be. If you interested in some real liberation, freedom fighting, some struggling, if you're interested in organizing, challenging the conditions in your neighborhood, your block, you're interested in putting a real halt to chemical and biological warfare, chemical dependency, sexism, stopping prostitution, being used by the police, abuse, black-on-black violence, and all that we're working on, and we need your help today, tonight, right now to do it. And we want to have all registered members of our organization at that national summit. We want you to be a national registered member, not registered with the Democrats or Republicans or none of that stuff that, you know, supports the capitalistic aspirations of your people, I mean against your people. But we want you to be interested in black nationalism and black power and black liberation, registered with the New Black Panther Party, regardless of your religious affiliation or background or what you formerly believed politically. We want to educate you in black nationalism and revolutionary politics and how to get some of this, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey say, good earth to call some of our own. One more time with that number. It is 347-903-0886. You can drop us a line at New Black Panther Headquarters at gmail.com. Again, that's New Black Panther Headquarters at gmail.com or NBPPHQ at yahoo.com. And I'm trying to give it all out to you. And like I said, again, y'all got the website. But get in touch with us. Give us your support. We want you to also begin to make donations to us and support the movement, finance the movement. Our movement is your movement. The more of a war treasury, a war chest that we can build, the more that we can do. I'm interested. Our national chairman is interested in infrastructure, not rhetoric, infrastructure. We're interested in institutions we can pass on to our children and real solutions that we can eat off of and live off of and survive off of. So soon the donation information will be there at present. Again, you can email us and we'll be glad to accept it. And whatever it is, great, large, or small, but we're not rolling around in 2014 broke, naked, rioting out of doors. I want top-flight professional revolutionaries, professional soldiers in and out these cities, well-trained, well-developed, and well-financed. That's a message to you over there in Africa, too, and other places. You better, y'all know, hell, get with us and organize with us. If you're over there in Africa, if you're in England, in Brazil, wherever you're at, we're building up there. We have branches in some of the areas over there. We need more. Bottom line, it is a reemergence of the black liberation movement. The black power struggle is once again in America. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell an individual, tell your church, tell your mosque, tell your civic group, tell your organization, tell your fraternity, the black power movement is back, and the new Black Panther Party is here stronger than ever. March the 28th through the 30th, Atlanta, Georgia, the national summit of our organization. Go to newblackpanther.com for more details. We'll be telling you much, much more in the next coming show, since we're about 2.5 weeks away from the National Summit of Dignity, the remembrance of the Honorable Chokwe Lumumba, the tribute to Miriam Baraka, the tribute to our great patriarch soldier, Moses Powell, and the great tribute for 25 years of service and 12 years as chairman to that great warrior lawyer, attorney Malik Ulu. Black power to black people, power to the people. And remember, if black people are not free, there's nobody that's free. Black power, we out of here. Signing off. Much love and respect to all those who respect us, black power.
Yeah. You know what? Fuck Dirty Hell.
Immortal Technique.
We got guns too, nigga.
Killer Mike.
Fuck the turkey.